there are effects on both the adult and the child, if there are children in the house, and the child victims that sort of carry out into their workplace, in the case of children, school. We have a session on economic impact, and I think the number, and it's probably still accurate, is about $8.3 billion a year in this nation is lost to lost work, lost wages altogether, people who lose their jobs because of harassment or their partner's behavior at their workplace. And so the community is impacted economically, but also health-wise, in that often access to medical care, and if the family is lucky enough to have insurance, then that is not a big burden on the community, but very often there's no insurance, so that becomes a burden on the community's resources. And for children, there's a study that listeners might be interested in, the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study, which was done by CDC a number of years ago, but they actually were looking for something else when they discovered that adverse experiences in childhood lead to lifelong health issues and debilitating health issues. So, you know, we see children, if you want to include mental health, we see children often who cannot express their feelings. They have been shut down, or the only feelings they can express are anger, and things that are disruptive in school, not only to their own learning, but learning in the classroom and eventually out into the whole school environment. So
I suppose there is that ripple effect then, yes, that what happens, yes, in a family ripples out into the broader community.
Right.
But as I'm hearing from you, the children who are maybe exposed to this type of violence, that could lead to issues when they become adults. And is there a way to quantify if there are intergenerational impacts of this? Like if a child grows up in a family where there is domestic violence, is there a concern that they might replicate that behavior because that's what they're exposed to?
Yeah, there has been that concern. And when we first started, I've been doing this for 30 years. So way back, 30 or so years ago, there was an awful lot of conversation about little boys in particular, because people were looking at male violence against women, and that certainly has broadened since those times. But there were kind of crazy statistics about a little boy's likelihood to grow up to be an abuser. That was something I personally fought. A lot of us thought in the beginning, you don't do that to a child. You don't predict where they're going.
And don't label them early on.
Right. You try to get intervention in there and get those things straightened out. So I don't know. I know that it does happen. I know that to some extent you learn what you live, and then you live what you've learned. And so there are those young people, but an awful lot of kids find that one person that we always hear about in their lives. They have their own innate resilience and they manage to come out okay. But they can be very high functioning. And while some kids are impacted in a way that negatively affects their education, other kids find solace in education. The rules stay steady. You know what to do. You know how to get through things. And they can sort of use that to steady themselves and help themselves. So you can't predict either way that a child is going. But what we do know is if you have chronic headaches when you're two, you're probably going to have some residual effects on your health going out. And that's what we're looking at this symposium.
And of course, trauma experienced by children, yes, has lifelong,
right,
implications.
That's what the ACEs study discovered and has proven in very concrete ways, how that factors out for people.
Jackie, I know you've been doing this for a long time, I think around 30 years. Mm-hmm. What are some of the big changes that you've seen, and maybe some of the positive changes in terms of how society and us as a community locally is dealing with this issue?
Well, I think I'm sitting here right now talking to you. That's big, because that probably wouldn't have happened 30 years ago. There is a lot more knowledge out there. There still is a lot of knowledge to be had, because people do still think, if you say domestic violence, they think physical assault. Almost always. And they also think heterosexual couple where the male is the perpetrator and the female is the victim. That has all widened out, opened up. We're a lot more knowledgeable about the fact that this happens in all relationships, in all communities. And in fact, it's not exactly a movement, but there's discussion now about taking the term domestic violence out of the mix and calling it relationship abuse, because that broadens the spectrum for people. So that's one thing that has changed. Money has certainly helped us out. We didn't have any in the beginning, and now we have federal funding and local funding that helps us build our staff and build our capacity to really do more than just shelter people. And I don't mean to say just, but in the beginning, that is what we could do. But there was housing, so we could get people into housing. And it was mostly advocates, not psychologists. There was not a mix of us back in those days. We were all, many of us, survivors. And then other folks, not too many degrees, floating around. When the money came, it brought the interest of people with degrees, with psychology, social work degrees. And that has helped us all learn from each other a lot. So I think our services are much more rounded than they were and much broader than they used to be. I mean, we have housing navigators now, and we're doing much more work in the community and in the way of mobile advocacy. We used to wait for people to come to us. We're not doing that so much anymore. We're going out. We right now have people on site part of the week in El Comité, which serves the Latino community, Center for People with Disabilities, out Boulder County in their office, and in our senior center, because those are populations we know don't come forward as much.
In terms of the laws, I know it's relatively recently that I'm not so much aware of what happened in Colorado, but certainly other states, that marital rape wasn't even considered
a
crime.
That became a crime in Colorado, I think, in the mid-90s.
So that's good. So that's progress.
Yeah, that hasn't been around that long, though, but it is there. But interestingly, a law that connects with the symposium, legislation was just passed last July, July of 17, allowing people who are first responders, like EMTs or ER doctors. It used to be mandatory that if they believed there was domestic violence going on, they had to call the police, which sounds lovely and certainly gave them a sense of acting in the face of someone being in danger. But in essence, what it did was prevent victims from going to the hospital, because they knew if they went, there'd be a police report if their covering up the incident wasn't adequate. So we passed legislation about a year ago saying that it is no longer mandatory for that to happen. It is at the discretion of the service provider, and we've seen an increase in people seeking health care when they need it for injuries and things like that. So those kinds of laws are becoming more, zeroing in more on specific pieces of different kinds of incidents. So stalking laws have been wonderful. That didn't exist.
What can people expect then at this year's symposium?
Well, it's only one day, but it is certainly packed. So as we've said earlier, we're looking at the economic impact on the community. We're looking at trauma-informed care and trauma-informed interventions, how to talk to people in health settings or other settings like that. So we're giving people a lot of good tools to use in working with victims or identifying victims in the work that they're doing. Through the things like the ACEs study, how trauma impacts people's lifelong health, and good ways to, again, intervene with that. A couple of women are coming from the Prevention Institute to talk about community stuff, and they'll do the lunch plenary and the closing plenary, and they'll be talking about ways that the community can galvanize around these issues and move forward in a way that is beneficial to everyone, individuals, families, communities, all of it.